That was Girish from his CD, Sky of the Heart. And I'm happy to say that with us right now is our first guest of the day, Brent N. Hunter. He's the author of The Rainbow Bridge. Let me tell you something about him. With a professional certifications in knowledge management and project management, Brent Hunter is the author of 4 books, an IT professional, producer, former psychotherapist, and national certified counselor. Brent Hunter is also a social media pioneer as the founder of the first internet-based global community called The Park, with more than 700,000 members in 190 countries worldwide. Through the amazing Park Odyssey, which he is now chronicling in a separate book, he learns some of what it means to be a human. Brent is part Muslim, part Jewish, and was brought up as a Christian. He currently studies and lives by an integrated set of life principles, including Baha'i, Buddhist, Christian, Confucian, Earth-based, Hindu, Islamic, Jewish, Native American, Indigenous, Sikh, and Taoist traditions. Brent believes that all paths are divine and must be equally respected in order for the world to become a significantly better place for all of our brothers and sisters worldwide. Brent received a B.S. in math and computer science from Clarkson University, M.S. in counseling and human relations from Villanova, and the equivalent of an M.S. in information systems after he graduated from General Electric Company's Fast Track Information Systems Management Program. And Brent is an Eagle Scout, a graduate from the U.S. Army Airborne School, and is involved with a number of global civic organizations, including a past position in the United Nations Association of the U.S. as the Vice President of Communications in the Northern California Division. He is also the author of The Pieces of Our Puzzle, A Multifaceted Approach to Personal Health and Well-Being, Nuggets of Wisdom, Quotes to Ponder and Inspire, More Nuggets of Wisdom, Quotes to Ponder and Inspire, and the upcoming The Park Odyssey. And after being born in Brooklyn, New York, and living in upstate New York, Philadelphia, Chicago, and San Francisco, Brent currently lives, plays, and works in Los Angeles. He says, "We are in the process of creating a bridge to a peaceful future through a global network of networks by working collaboratively using universal principles as our common ground. We aim to help facilitate global unity and world peace." And he said, "If you would like to join us in creating a bridge to a positive and peaceful future, we welcome hearing from you." And the website is therainbowbridge.org, therainbowbridge.org. His book is The Rainbow Bridge, Bridge to Inner Peace and World Peace, and he's with us right now. Hello, Brent.
Hello, Gary. Good morning, and thank you for that warm welcome.
Oh, you're welcome. Oh, absolutely. You know, I'm very impressed by your book, you know, and tell us, like, right off the bat, how do you describe the Rainbow Bridge?
Sure. So the Rainbow Bridge illuminates the common ground in the world's major wisdom traditions. And this common ground we can consider to be universal principles, because these principles are applicable to people all over the world, regardless of what religious views they hold, what political views, what their race is, their culture, their gender, their age, where they live, and anything at all. So the Rainbow Bridge creates this bridge that brings us all together. It creates a bridge between, you know, religions, a bridge between cultures, and every other aspect. So this book, The Rainbow Bridge, is about how we can come about to achieve a sense of inner peace and tranquility in our own lives, and it's also about how we can use these universal principles to create a bridge to world peace. So that's the Rainbow Bridge in a nutshell.
When was that term first created?
That's a really good question. I started using the term the Rainbow Bridge in the first edition of this book, which was in 2001. And this is the 4th edition, actually, now, that came out earlier this year. The Rainbow Bridge reference, as it turns out, is actually being used all over the world. And so that's, as I issue new editions of the Rainbow Bridge, I'm continually incorporating how the term is actually being used around the world. And the Rainbow Bridge, you know, talks about these different interpretations that many people know about the Rainbow Bridge. There's this poem or legend about the Rainbow Bridge that has to do with our pets. And, you know, when they pass over, that they were permanently connected to them over this Rainbow Bridge. There's a lot of other references as well in the movies and in the entertainment world and music videos, et cetera. And so it's a pretty fascinating concept that is being utilized all over the world, and as well as physical bridges that are being built all over the world that they call Rainbow Bridge.
Thank you. What ways are the Rainbow Bridge used in all over the world?
Well, first of all, let's take the concept of the rainbow. The rainbow, which is why the reason why I used the term rainbow is because it, out of a variety of different colors, there's a single rainbow. So it's this concept of unity, and the phenomenon of a rainbow exists all over the world. It doesn't matter what religion you have, what race you are, how old you are, and none of those things matter. A rainbow is a rainbow all around the world. And so, for example, some examples of how the Rainbow Bridge is being used. There's a Norse legend called the Rainbow Bridge, which is documented in the movie, the two movies actually, Thor and Thor. The Underworld, I believe it's called. It's the two Thor movies that are out. Michael Jackson also created a popular music video that was called "Can You Feel It," where he was building a rainbow bridge. He was lifting this rainbow bridge, and it was all about people coming together, uniting to build a better world. Jimi Hendrix actually had a movie called "The Rainbow Bridge" back in 1972. There are Rainbow Bridge festivals that are taking place all around the world that have music as a large component, and in the whole message of peace and harmony and unity is also there, where you see these Rainbow Bridge events. There's also, in addition to all of the different Rainbow Bridges, the physical Rainbow Bridges that are around the world, there are a multiplicity of Rainbow Bridge stores and hotels. So it's, as they say, as the book continues to expand and I publish additional editions over the years, I'm continuing to incorporate everything I find. There's also a fascinating concept called the Antakarana, which is a Sanskrit term that refers to a rainbow bridge. Other names that they use for this Antakarana is a bridge of light. They also call it the lighted way. And this concept is really that there's this conduit between our mind and higher levels of perception and consciousness, basically higher levels of our own self. And you could therefore say, like a connection to God or to the source or whatever name or names that you want to use. I also forgot there's another movie called Dolphin Tale, which has a reference to the Rainbow Bridge, and that particular reference is a reference to the Native American Chumash tribe out here on the West Coast. So those are a few examples of how the Rainbow Bridge is being used across the world, and I have no doubt that that we're just scratching the surface right now in terms of those examples. And as I continue to do research and learn more, we're going to find that there's many, many, many other references to the Rainbow Bridge as well.
Well, thank you. Your book is chock filled with very inspiring information, words that are very uplifting and healing. And we'll get to some of that, but you also give us various techniques for using Rainbow Bridge, the whole idea of Rainbow Bridge. I want to share one in particular. Is called Creating a Bridge to Your Future Self. May I read that?
Sure.
A very powerful way to create a bridge to inner peace is the exercise of creating a bridge to your future self. Close your eyes and in your mind's eye, imagine yourself in the future. Envision yourself filled with peace, harmony, and joy. Imagine what it feels like to be living a life filled with peace and harmony, filled with deep bliss, physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. See yourself in the future. Make a decision that you are that person. It helps to also imagine a bridge of multicolored light from your current self to your future self, and as you go about your daily routine, imagine that you are using universal principles with every step you take. With each passing moment, you are getting closer to being your future self. As you intentionally utilize universal principles in your life, you are increasing your sense of inner peace, and you are becoming more of the future self you are imagining. And at some point, you step right into it. Your future self is your present self.
That's correct.
What are the universal principles that you're mentioning here?
What are they? Well, the universal principles form the foundation of the Rainbow Bridge. This is the common ground that I was referring to before that's found within all the world's major wisdom traditions. And because they're common to everyone, that's why they're called universal and they're principles. So that's why we're called universal principles.
Yes.
There's 60 principles that I've identified that are common, and they range from things that people would normally think about. Actually, I think most of them are, when you hear them, you just think, well, I knew about that principle. I knew about that one and this one, and you know. So in a sense, you know, I'm not talking about anything new here. This wisdom, this perennial wisdom, has been passed down throughout the ages. The Rainbow Bridge, however, is a unique way of talking about this perennial wisdom. So some of the universal principles include things like love and compassion and forgiveness and patience. And then there's and those are the things that I think people just immediately recognize. But then there's other things like the power of our mind and the power of focus and the power of intention. Those are aspects that sometimes we don't really think too much about or we discount. But our minds are extremely powerful. I think way more powerful than we can even begin to imagine. They're so powerful that sometimes it can maybe even be scary to know what we can manifest just by thinking about things. And so there's a heavy dose of, aspects that are related to our heart as well as aspects that are related to our mind as well.
Thank you. I'm wondering if we could read some of these principles on air.
Sure.
Yeah.
Do you have any ones?
Let's find out what wants to be aired. I'm sort of like a believer in letting go.
Sure.
And just what is supposed to come. And this kind of pertinent. I think one of the oftentimes, and maybe I'm talking about myself, and perhaps other people as well. We get a little people that are really sensitive to what's going on in the world. We start getting little panic attacks, if you know what I mean.
It can
happen, and or you can just feel a general anxiety malaise. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Yeah, and I think we should this would apply to that. So let me read this, okay?
Sure.
It's called Don't Panic. There are times when the weight of the world seems heavy on our shoulders. At times, the discoveries we make and experiences we have are shocking and difficult. Sometimes we can become exhausted, overwhelmed, and even disoriented. Indeed, our very sense of reality can become challenged. This is exactly what happens when the mental, rational, and intellectual mind is pushed beyond its limits. During times such as these, let go of panic, let go of fear, breathe deeply, seek out the support of others, trust the universe. And then you have a quote here by Bill Froelich, a filmmaker and co-author of the You Are the Solution. Fear invites you to play, for it can't play alone. Alone, it has nowhere to go and nothing to do. I have to do a very short station break. It's time for that. We'll finish that, and I'd like to comment on this, okay?
Fabulous.
This is WRPI Troy at 91.5 FM and live on the internet at www.wrpi.org.
Yes, thank you. I feel like the panic thing, I feel, or the anxiety, or something that's something wrong, or something about to take place that's going to be painful, that I have to protect myself, and it causes me to worry. And then I'm at that point, the junction point of making a decision, shall I give in to these feelings, or should I take action on my own behalf, a positive action? And so I've been finding, you know, different things that I've been doing is meditating and mantra practice and breathing. And to talk about breathing, it's the next universal principle, if I may read.
Absolutely.
Breathe seriously. Sometimes it is incredibly helpful to just stop and take deep breaths. Focus on your center. Find the spot within where peace resides and breathe into that space. If you think you can't find any kind of inner peace, focus on where you think the peace is, where it could be, and where you want it to be. If it all else fails, don't think about anything. Just take deep breaths and feel the energy and life force coming into your body. Sri Sri Ravi Shankar, quote, breath is the link between your body, your spirit, and your mind. And I just want to make a comment on that, and I'll give it over to you. Brent Hunter, our guest, the author of The Rainbow Bridge, therainbowbridge.org. I find that when I do my breathing, conscious breathing, everything the seas part, you know, and then there's this space of peace that I've created through the breathing. And when you feel that panic wanting to set in, it really can't get in. It's sort of on the edge. So don't, you know, the feeling is that, oh, I want to experience everything. Let the panic in. I want to experience what I'm panicking. What do you say about that when people start feeling the panic? Is there any value in just letting yourself go and feel those feelings?
Yeah, Gary, that's a really good question. I think that one of the principles is the principle of surrender, and what that gets at is the kind of the concept of accepting what is, just the way things are in the present moment, because sometimes we can't do anything about it. And if we can't do anything about it, the very best thing to do is just to accept what it is. And sometimes people, you know, another way of saying that is to experience what is. So if you're experiencing, if you have some kind of difficult situation going on, you know, you can say to yourself, well, let me just take it all in, let me have the panic and, you know, all the terrible things. I have a kind of a slightly different way of looking at that, and that's just, you know, just accept what happens to be, and don't label it good or bad. It just is. And like you said, you know, the practice of breath and just conscious breathing is really, really important, because it can literally just completely take you away from any stress, any pressure, any panic. And so I just feel like, especially if you're feeling like a sense of panic, I don't necessarily think it's helpful to think, oh, well, how do I have more panic? And how do I experience even more panic? But to just kind of accept that it's there and don't attach to it, don't think, you know, oh, this is panic, I'm gonna continue with this panic. Just take some breaths, just recognize that it's just what it is in that particular moment. And that particular moment is going to fall away, just like all changes happen. They just kind of, you know, recede into the past. But breathing is very, very important and can really help us transcend whatever's going on in our life. Yeah. Just another, Gary, I just want to make another point.
Yeah, sure.
Sometimes when everything is going well in our lives and we're on the top of the world and we're getting everything we want, we have a great job, we have a great, you know, everything's just going on the way we want it to. Maybe there's a couple little things we want, but just, you know, we're having a great time. These concepts, you know, sometimes people are like, well, I don't, you know, yeah, I breathe all the time and yeah, I don't, you know, I don't really panic. And, you know, it's when you experience challenges that these principles really are important. It's when we have these pressures and challenges that really push us to our limits that cause us to seek, you know, within and to think about what kind of things can we do and learn about these kinds of meditative practices and conscious breathing and whatnot. So to the extent that you're on top of the, you know, if somebody's listening now and everything's going well for them, well, that's great. And just to kind of put this information in the back of your mind, because someday you may need it, especially with everything that's going on in the world today, all of the myriad challenges that we're faced with as a species, really, it can feel very overwhelming. And that's totally natural. And there's things that we can do to transcend that and come to a sense of peace and harmony within ourselves.
Beautiful. I want to let people know that this is a widely acclaimed book that Brent put together and a few of the endorsements here. Neil Donald Walsh, New York Times bestseller, author of The Conversation of God with God series, who was recently on the program a couple weeks ago or so, writes, once held in your hand, you will hold it in your heart as well, and it will illumine your soul. The book, The Rainbow Bridge, Bridge to Inner Peace and Bridge to Inner Peace to World Peace. And Dr. Robert Thurman, again, a guest on this program a while back, not too long ago, president of Tibet House U.S., I recommend The Rainbow Bridge to myself and to all of you. Safe and sound always, as it gently and blissfully arches through our inmost hearts. That's beautiful. And Dr. Marilyn Schlitz, Ambassador of Creative Projects and Global Affairs Institute of Noetic Sciences, writes, "The Rainbow Bridge is a much-needed operating manual that will help us reach our highest potentials, individually and as a multicultural family. This book is a must-read for all who hold the image of our collective greatness." And Dr. Reza Aslan, New York Times bestseller, author of Zealot and No God But God, no small g but capital G, writes, "The Rainbow Bridge is a must-read book." You probably know of Barbara Marx Hubbard, right?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
She seems to be doing similar things that you are doing. That's great.
She is, yes.
Yeah, and so I'm really happy with for people in the world like her and you, and the other people that really, really don't take life for granted and know we must, you know, we all have an opportunity to share our talents in creating a better world. And I think this is what you're offering here.
Thank you. Yeah, it's really important. I think we're living in a time right now where every single person makes a difference. Every person actually has a purpose and has a unique gift to offer to the world. And so to the extent that, and by the way, that includes inner peace, because when we make it a priority of attaining some kind of peace and harmony within our own life, automatically then we become a tool for spreading peace with everyone that we come in contact with. Even if it's a small, tiny little improvement in our life, you know, it creates a ripple effect. And so, yeah, I believe everybody's really important at this time, and every single one of us can make a difference.
I like the I'm a chanter. I'm a kirtan person. I do a lot of you've heard of kirtan, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and I love it. It's it really creates a sense of inner peace for me, and I highly support it. And one of the people whose name I chant often is Krishna. And he writes, "When meditation is mastered, the mind is unwavering, like the flame of a lamp on a windless place." Imagine getting these quotes from these credible individuals. You know, I love all these lots of ways in which we can connect to make a better world, and using the Rainbow Bridge. And you mentioned that the Rainbow Bridge is in many countries in the world. There are actually rainbow bridges.
There are, yes. There are, I forget the exact count at this point in time, but I think there's around 40 or so rainbow bridges that I've been able to identify through the internet. There are, I believe there are probably hundreds or maybe even thousands of rainbow bridges, physical bridges, located around the world. The ones that I've listed in the Rainbow Bridge are ones that actually have pictures online and I could actually, you know, see for myself. But this is really, you know, I refer to the Rainbow Bridge as a collective vision and collective desire for peace that arises from within the heart of humanity. And why I say that is because, you know, I didn't build these rainbow bridges around the world. This rainbow bridge concept is arising from some place deep within all of us. And so it's really magical, it's really powerful, and, you know, it's a way that we can, you know, as I say, you know, it's a way that we can use our minds to go beyond our minds. Because we're living in some extraordinary times, and I think it calls for every one of us to recognize that we have an opportunity and a birthright for this sense of tranquility and joy within our lives. And that's the first part. And then, you know, the world that we're living in, we have an amazing opportunity to come together to actually resolve all of these huge challenges that are happening all simultaneously. And, you know, we can look at that and say, well, that's just awful, terrible that everything's all happening all at once. But we can also look at it and say, no, this is actually amazing that it's happening all at the same time. Why? Because we have an opportunity to consciously decide enough is enough. We don't need to be suffering on a massive scale all around the world. There are very concrete steps that we can take to effect systemic change in the world and literally create a new global operating system, a smoothly functioning global operating system that can improve the lives of everybody in the world. And the Rainbow Bridge talks about what that is and summarizes everything into a roadmap for world peace, a 14-point roadmap for world peace.
Thank you. You write, the Rainbow Bridge is a vision of peace and unity that comes from deep inside the heart of humanity. You can learn how to be a positive positive contribution to your life and to the lives of billions of people worldwide. How do people begin to follow this vision of the Rainbow Bridge? What would you recommend them to do?
Well, the first thing is learning about the Rainbow Bridge, and so, you know, reading, getting a copy of the book and reading it, and learning about the fact that there actually is a common ground between all of us living on the planet. That can itself can be really, you know, eye-opening, and learning about the universal principles and what they are, how we can use them in our own lives. And this is a really important point. We talk about creating a better world, but the first step in creating a better world, the first step at world peace, is focusing on our own inner peace. Because if we don't come from a place of relative peace and tranquility within ourselves, if we're trying to do things, you know, be in action mode in the world around us, We're coming from a place of kind of disarray, and all of our efforts are not going to be, you know, as fruitful and effective as they could be. So the absolute first step is to make it a priority to take time and you know, learn about what we can do, each one of us, to come about and you know, cultivate this sense of inner peace and joy within our own lives. And so the Rainbow Bridge talks about and gives a few examples, several examples of meditations. And so that's really the first focus is, in terms of creating a better world, is placing the focus on ourself, each one of us, to do that. And then once we're, you know, coming from that kind of focus in place, then we can talk about how to make, you know, the world a better place and learn about the 14-point roadmap to world peace. And, you know, all of those obviously are in the Rainbow Bridge. So it all starts with reading the book.
And you've really made it an important a part of the mission is for people to read the book. I know from reading your book that you've made it available free of charge to thousands of people. I think you have like a fund that you use for distributing it far and wide.
Yeah, so I give away, and anybody who wants to receive a free copy of the Rainbow Bridge in electronic form can go to free-ebook.therainbowbridge.org. That's free-ebook.therainbowbridge.org. And yeah, it's really important that it's not about, you know, how much money we can make here by selling this book. You know, the funds can be used in a very powerful, really effective manner. It's really about spreading this information. And so we have a goal through our philanthropic program to give away, starting our initial goal is to give away 5 million copies of this book. And so we're giving away the ebook right now in PDF form, but what we're doing is creating a plan. We're receiving the support of foundations and conscious businesses, you know, businesses, socially responsible businesses, organizations, individuals can donate to the Rainbow Bridge and have those funds used to give away copies of the book, physical copies of the book,
yes,
to people all around the world. So that's the philanthropic program that you're referring to.
Yes, that's wonderful. Again, the website is therainbowbridge.org, and the book we're talking about, of course, is The Rainbow Bridge, Bridge to Inner Peace and World, and to World Peace. Let's go to, I love just opening the book and getting hits of inspiration like this. Just this. Why are we here? Why are we here? To love, bless, inspire, and uplift one another. You know, when I read that, it's just like, if I seem to wander off some of these principles and start overly thinking about myself or being self-concerned, I get to some of these universal principles and ideas and thought that bring me back. It's sort of like steering the ship. The ship has started to drift. You start reading something like this, you're back on course.
Well, thank you. That's I appreciate that, because that's, of course, what it's designed to do. I'm glad to hear that feedback.
And you quote, and you have quotes from various people. Like, I saw this individual, but I didn't speak with him. He was at a place locally called Kripalu Yoga. His name is Panache Desai. Is that the way you pronounce it?
Panache Desai, yes.
Panache Desai. And I love what he writes here. I wish I did talk with him. I knew he was at the book table. He was there for some kind of weekend, and I didn't go over to see him, but after reading this, I guess maybe I would have if I'd learned how important he is to the world. And he writes, "You are here to change the world, and inside of you is a magnificence that's waiting to reveal itself, and that's waiting to make a difference. There's an evolutionary impulse in every cell of your being, wanting to come forth, wanting to be shared, wanting to shift, wanting to make a difference, wanting to be a contribution. There is a power within you that is here to shift the face of this planet and the way we live with one another forever. The time to allow that magnificent infinite power to shine forth, to shine through you, is now. The power to change you and this planet is within you. Slow down, look within. You are needed now. You are here to change the world." Now, I think that's great. Boy, I tell you, that really pumps my blood, you know.
Doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's really, really powerful. Yeah, he's quite amazing.
Yeah,
amazing.
Yeah.
You know, Gary, if I could just, I know we're kind of running a little bit out of time, and I just wanted to mention one really important concept, if I could.
Please.
Okay, it's the concept of the Earth's global operating system. The world does not have a smoothly functioning global operating system. And let me say a little bit more about that. Because I'm an IT professional, I think about things in, you know, computer terms and in systems ways and, you know, logically and rationally. And we can do the same thing with our planet. So an operating system on a computer governs the resources of the computer, and every computer has a global operating system. PCs have a global operating system, you know, usually Windows, Macintoshes have them, there's Unix machines, mainframes, etc. The operating system, the purpose of the operating system is to ensure the equitable distribution of resources of the computer. If you didn't have an operating system, then any program could come along and just start, you know, consuming all of the resources of the computer, the memory, the CPU power, the hard drive capacity, the peripherals that are attached to the computer and whatnot. And so it's really, we can see that having the operating system is really important, because otherwise only one program could run. With an operating system, many programs can run. They you know, exist peacefully, so to speak, in the computer. And every program has a little bit of the resources of the computer. So that's a really powerful metaphor for the world that we're living in, because the world that we live in today is completely interconnected. We're completely interdependent and interconnected, and yet we do not have a smoothly functioning global operating system. That is really a very, very powerful realization, because when you recognize that the world doesn't have a global operating system, then it's not a surprise that we have crime and poverty and war, and, you know, like the mighty get to make the rules. I mean, so the world needs to have a smoothly functioning global operating system. Otherwise, a quote-unquote program can come along, like a nation, for example, or a multinational corporation, can come along and start sucking up resources, whether the resources are petroleum or minerals or natural resources or water or whatever it happens to be. And if we're serious about living in a peaceful world, we need to look at that and say, our task for our times is to figure out, let's come together and figure out how to create a smoothly functioning global operating system that equitably distributes the resources of the planet. It's not necessarily an easy task, but it actually is relatively simple to do. And I certainly don't have all the answers, but we do have a roadmap. We have a 14-point roadmap for taking us there, for moving towards creating this smoothly functioning global operating system and a world that really does work for all and that works with much more collaboration and partnership and peace and harmony. And I think that that's one of the reasons why every single one of us is here, is to recognize that's why we're here, to take a piece of the puzzle, to figure out what our little part is or big part in it is, and contribute so that our lives can be more than about our own individual lives, and it can be more about the collective purpose of society. So that's what I wanted to say about the global operating system, because it's a really important aspect of the Rainbow Bridge.
So we can feel that we are an instrumental part of the global operating system of planet Earth.
Absolutely.
That's good. I like that. And that's sort of come what I just, you were here to change the world, you know. You have a number of people that you have quotes from Al Gore, the future is knocking on your door. There are people in the world, sometimes it doesn't seem as many as we'd like, that really understand what is going on and what we need to do to turn things around. Sometimes it doesn't seem. Do you think, some people say it just takes a few people that are really on target to really make things happen. Do you believe that?
I do, and you know, there's a famous quote from Margaret Mead that says something like, if I remember it correctly, you know, a small committed group of people can change the world. Indeed, it is the only thing that ever has changed the world. And so, I think it's very important to recognize that we don't need to have, you know, huge, vast numbers of people all in the world to have a fundamental, significant shift taking place. There are millions of us that are waking up, recognizing what's happening, learning more about it, you know, sort of plugging into the collective purpose of why we're here, and doing exactly that, making a difference. And you know, it reminds me of something very important, that is that peace is not just something that happens overnight. And the example that I always use is the Berlin Wall. Sometimes people say, oh, yeah, wasn't it great, the Berlin Wall? It just came down. Can you believe it came down overnight? Oh, wow, how fast that could actually happen. But what they don't realize is that the Berlin Wall did not come down overnight. That was just the physical manifestation. It took years to bring down that Berlin Wall. And I think the same thing is true for you know, the world living in peace and harmony. It's already happening. It's inevitable. Peace is the way. And so it's just about, you know, searching within, asking ourselves, do we really like the way things are moving in this world? Is this the world that we would like to inherit to our children? And if the answer is no, then there are answers. There are things that we can do, and enabled by the incredible power of the internet, we now have ways of coming together and collaborating on a massive scale that we've never been able to do before. So we have all the ingredients. People are waking up by the millions all over the world, and peace is going to happen. It's just a question of are we contributors to this peace, and are we actively, consciously, and deliberately working towards being a positive part of the solution, or are we kind of fixed in the past and resisting change? So those are a couple things I think that every one of us, including myself, can continue to think about as we go about our daily lives.
Thank you. Thank you. Again, a reminder, we are talking to Brent Hunter. He is the author of The Rainbow Bridge, Bridge to Inner Peace and to World Peace. TheRainbowBridge.org is the website. And the email address is?
It is Brent@TheRainbowBridge.org.
Okay, thank you. And in this book, you also outline the Rainbow Bridge Roadmap to World Peace. There's a whole section on that. When people see that they can be part of a global collective, you know, this can be exciting. Because I think people really want to be part of something that really is meaningful to them, you know?
Absolutely. I think there's a collective yearning. People want to be part of the solution. They just don't know what to do.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I totally agree with you. And, you know, this 14-point roadmap to world peace shows exactly some very concrete steps that we can take to move us forward in a really significant way.
Yes. Well, thank you. You write, if the universal principles in this book are followed diligently and with deep commitment, they will help lead us toward inner and outer peace, happiness, and joy. It is important that each of us do what we can to manifest inner peace in our own lives, for we impact the lives of everyone, whether we come in contact with them or not. In addition, just as the universal principles can be applied to our individual lives, they can also be applied to every other area of our lives as individuals and collectively in our institutions. And further, I just want to be sure that our world is in crisis. To some extent, it always has been. The difference at this juncture in our evolution is that we have the ability to make an extraordinary breakthrough and transformation toward implementing universal principles in all fields of endeavor, including but not limited to business, politics, economics, the media, government, legal system, science, health, medicine, culture, spirituality, art, music, ecology, etc., on a global scale. And so, it's very inspiring. I'm real, you know, that you put this together, and I really I feel that. What about your life? We have a couple more minutes left. What about your life, Brent, led you on this path?
Well, this journey actually started a number of years ago. You could say actually my whole life kind of had some way to do with it, really. But it came about concretely, anyway, as a result of a business that I ran from 1994 until 2001. It was the world's first, you referred to it earlier, it was called The Park, and it's the world's first intentionally global online community. And that was a really, really challenging endeavor. I mean, it was a multi-million dollar operation, 700,000 members from around the world, 160 volunteers, many investors, many, many, many sleepless, challenging nights. And so during that period of time, I was writing notes to myself, taking notes, reading, and doing all sorts of soul-searching to figure out how to get through those rough waters. And I was, you know, looking at the wisdom of all the different major world wisdom traditions while I was doing that. And so I had to shut down that operation in 2001. That's a whole other story that's being documented in a separate book. But one day after it was shut down, I was sitting and meditating, and I suddenly had this recognition and realization that what all of those notes that I was taking, what they represented was the common ground that's found within the world's major wisdom traditions. And so it was really those notes that formed the basis of the first version of the Rainbow Bridge. And so it was really a result of a huge challenge on every level that led to the creation of the Rainbow Bridge.
Well, thank you very much. Yes, it's I can see that. Thank you. Well, I'm looking forward to reading the story on that. But for now, people can read the Rainbow Bridge, this book right now. It's in its fourth edition. Brent H. Hunter, like I mentioned earlier, His Holiness the 14th Dalai Lama wrote, "Readers who are interested in love, kindness, inner peace, and a better world may find much in this book to inspire them." So it's received wide praise. It's being used. People that want to connect with this and be part of the global growth of this Rainbow Bridge and find themselves, you know, in community. It could be your local community and yourself. You have to begin with yourself. We mentioned this several times in this talk, that Brent mentioned peace starts within. It starts with you. It starts now. And it starts out of that, all this happens, because then we realize that we are connected. We cannot be alone. You know, I found some growth in my life recently, I think more than ever, has been that I'm not an individual. I'm just an individual struggling to survive. In meditation, I realized that actually I have a friend close by. It's like a divine friend within. And that's sort of that I don't have to worry or struggle so much. And that all along, this divine friend has been setting things up. Because I have a role to play in life, and it wants me to succeed in this role, and it's giving me every opportunity to do that.
That's beautiful.
Because I discovered that, and I realized, wow. I said, you know, I know you were there all along, but it was hard to believe, because as a friend, you know, we have friends in the flesh and blood, but I think we have maybe other friends too who we don't know about.
We do. And that's a really powerful recognition that can dramatically alter the course of your life. So that's fabulous.
Yeah, well, thank you. Yeah, and also, and part of that recognition is that there's that everything that happens, you being on the show right now, the people that are listening right now, everything that happens is meant to happen, and it was, and that by us playing our roles, what we are meant to play, and doing what we're meant to do, we come in contact and make this a reality. And so we talk about surrender, and I think in the book, and I really feel it is about surrender, because then you can really feel the guidance come through and lead you.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And, you know, a metaphor is just coming through in terms of the importance of every single one of us. It's like an orchestra. It's like a symphony. You know, every single one of us is important. I used to play the tuba, among other instruments. I used to play the tuba. And at the time, when I was in high school, I thought, well, this is a kind of a boring instrument. It's just a lot of low notes, and I want to play something more exciting. Well, everything is important. Everything contributes to this masterpiece symphony that's happening in the world. And as we consciously come together and recognize our own unique talents and gifts, it can become even more amazing. And so, you know, as we awaken to the greatness within ourselves and to the greatness within all of ourselves collectively as a society, it's actually, we can then view the times that we're living in as very, very exciting, as opposed to, you know, terrifying.
Oh, it's beautiful. Yes, because we know we're operating with each other as a collective.
That's right.
Yep. Thank you so much, Brent. It's been a pleasure having you on the show and talking about the Rainbow Bridge, therainbowbridge.org. I really appreciate having this conversation. Thank you.
Thank you, Gary. It's been a real pleasure.